Welcome to episode 67 of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Bielow. I've talked with hundreds of introverts over the past few years, and there's one thing almost all of us have in common. We don't talk unless we have something to say. We'd rather listen, observe, process, and wait until we have something meaningful to share. And while I personally think that that's a strength, because we're not wearing ourselves and others out with lots of talking, it's not a style that the typical work environment values. The other thing almost every introvert has in common is that we've been told at some point in our lives, you need to speak up more. This might come from a boss, a parent, a spouse, or a friend. And those people often have a point. When we keep our thoughts to ourselves too much, others miss out on what we have to offer. They end up with false assumptions about what we think, know, and can contribute. So what can we do? How can we balance our preference for internal processing with their request for us to talk more? To answer those questions, I decided to call on one of my expert colleagues, Nancy Ankowitz. Nancy is a business communication coach specializing in career advancement and presentation skills. She's the author of Self-Promotion for Introverts, The Quiet Guide to Getting Ahead, which is a Publisher's Weekly Best Book Selection. Self-Promotion for Introverts offers a gentle but results-oriented approach to helping those who talk less to get heard more. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm so glad you're joining us.
I'm delighted. Nice to speak with you again, Beth.
Yes, this is our second interview together, which I'm very pleased to be building on what we've already started talking about.
Yes.
Just as a quick warm-up, what's making you smile today?
Oh, there's so much to smile about. It's a beautiful spring day in New York. But more than that, I have some students at NYU that I'm working with today on their final presentations for tomorrow, and that's got me all excited. And got a bunch of clients. I'm also working with them on their presentations. And then I'm doing presentation skills for introverts at NYU. There's so much.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm a happy camper today. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and all of that work is a lot of that's part of what we're going to be talking about today.
Terrific.
In terms of how introverts are presenting themselves. And you and I have had numerous conversations, whether it's email or Twitter or Facebook or, you know, different places about public speaking and introverts being in front of groups and presenting themselves. And I think you and I are on the same page of looking at public speaking as being more than just standing up in front of a group with a microphone, right?
Absolutely.
Because we're invited to be public speakers every day, when especially we might not think of it this way, but when we attend meetings or engage in group discussions. And I'm guessing this is true for your clients, because it's true for mine, that many introverts say that being heard in meetings can be really challenging, and sometimes even more challenging than having to get up in front of the group and give a speech. Why do you think introverts sometimes have difficulty speaking up in meetings and other group situations?
It's a great point, because the difference, a main difference between public speaking as we know it, behind a podium, in front of an audience, in front of an auditorium, that kind of thing, and speaking at meetings is typically when you're in front of a room, in front of an audience, they're usually quiet so that you can speak. It's expected that you give the floor over to the speaker. However, in meetings, there's a different dynamic that often goes on. Often, whoever's the loudest gets heard. And that's not always the best thing for an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes with its challenges for those of us who need to collect our thoughts first.
Yes, yes. And it's so common to hear from clients, they'll get feedback from their boss or their peers that say, you need to speak up in meetings more. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you two parts to this. One, what can introverts do? And then what can people who are running the meetings do or be in the meetings? But let's start with the introverts. What can introverts do to get more comfortable in sharing ideas and thoughts during meetings, especially when they're put on the spot?
Sure. One thing is to buy a little time, because knowing that you need to collect your thoughts, buying a little time can be invaluable. And that can be as simple as paraphrasing a question, paraphrasing something that someone just said, saying somebody's name. So it could be, great point, Bob. Let me think about that. Or, Sue, that was wonderful. my initial thoughts on that are blank. So you already bought yourself a few seconds to get your thoughts together. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. That's what you can do during. And beforehand, you could save yourself a lot of grief by preparing. Preparing and even practicing out loud when applicable. Let's say it's an incredibly important meeting, then I would say get your key points ready. And this way, most of them, maybe not everything, but most of them you will have a chance to say during the meeting. And that'll make your life a lot easier.
And then what about the facilitators and colleagues, whether they're introverted or extroverted? You know, I think a lot of an introvert's comfort with speaking up in meetings has to do with the environment that is being set.
Sure.
What can the facilitators do to make sure that everyone feels comfortable speaking up and that they create that space?
One thing is to ensure that there's an agenda for the meeting, and you would say, well, there should always be an agenda. Well, how many meetings have you been to without an agenda?
Oh, lots.
And make, and make sure that everybody has a place on the agenda who belongs on the agenda. And this way you're being inclusive and everybody gets to be heard and all that. And then another thing that I think is important is to have ground rules, or you could call them guidelines. And those ground rules can include one voice at a time, please. Any side chats, please take them outside. And you might say, well, that's going to work in some environments and not others. And that is correct. Mm-hmm. Some environments, they're not going to go for it. But those that do, it's a great thing, one voice at a time. This way the introvert isn't flailing, trying to get a word in edgewise.
What about conference calls?
Oh, yeah.
Any words of wisdom for either the participant or the facilitator when it comes to creating a space where people aren't talking on top of each other and interrupting each other on a conference call?
It's extra hard without the visual cues, that's certainly, but some of the same things apply. Having that agenda, sticking to that agenda, and having somebody facilitate that so that to make sure everybody gets heard. And furthermore, having those ground rules from the start really make a big difference. It's very easy on a conference call, even for people who don't like to interrupt, to accidentally talk over each other because you don't have the cues, and sometimes people start at the same time. And you just say, excuse me, and you let somebody go. No big deal. So I think it's really the same stuff. And for an introvert, to be especially mindful of how you use your voice on a conference call, that you're using your best voice, that maybe you've jotted down a few thoughts ahead of time so that they're more collected once you speak, rather than feeling like you're being put on the spot.
I appreciate you mentioning that interrupting is just going to be part of it to some degree. I think sometimes we think that we've got to eliminate that, otherwise it's just clumsy and uncomfortable and, oh, I'm just not going to speak up. But what I hear is that you're inviting us to just see that as part of the experience and roll with it.
Yes, I think so. I used to say no interruptions, but and as a coach, and I'm sure you can relate to this, mm-hmm. we really try not to interrupt our clients. We want them to be heard. I mean, can you relate to that?
Yes, absolutely.
So we have this thing, we don't want to interrupt, but you know what? On a conference call, if you've got more than 2-3 people, you've got a lot of voices, it's really hard. Sometimes people are going to speak at the same time, and I say, yeah, just be relaxed about it. It will happen, and you just be really polite about it, and it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times that you have somebody who's extra chatty or who might be a more dominant personality, and there are times you want to jump in. Then it's okay to interject sometimes and just say, excuse me, I just want to, but say it in a nice way, excuse me, I just want to add something to that, Joe, and this way you can jump in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes you can overlap a little bit if somebody's really going on or, excuse me, in the interest of time, want to make sure we get back to that agenda point.
Thank you for thank you for that language. Just there, we we talked on top of each other because it just happens.
Exactly. We had the same moment of thought, and then we just boom, and then it happens. And see, you were polite about it. I was polite, and everything's fine.
Exactly. And what I appreciate also is that that's true not just on phone calls, but it's true in meetings. Even when you have those visual cues, we can still be with someone who is dominating the conversation and to be comfortable interjecting in some way. And at least in those instances, I raise my hand, which sometimes can seem kind of odd. I won't raise it high like I did in elementary school, but I'll just sort of put my hand out as a visual indicator that I have something to say.
Yes, and for in-person meetings, I'm a fan of that too, or even leaning forward, making a specific eye contact, let's say with the facilitator, to let them know that you want to get in a word. All those things can work in a smile. Definitely the eye contact, though, is really important. Yeah. And again, on phone, when you don't have any eye contact, it can even be a little clearing of your throat. So somebody knows you're trying to get in there. It totally can work.
What are some of the top strengths? You know, we're talking about tricks to overcome some of the challenges, but what are the top strengths that an introvert can lead with when it comes to these kinds of everyday public speaking situations?
One thing you're doing right now, which is asking great questions.
Oh, well, thank you.
You think about them in advance. You jot them down after doing a little research, which you probably excel at as an introvert. And then just diving in with your great questions, that'll prompt more discussion, more thought, and that can be powerful. And another thing is consider building rapport with your audience, almost like it's a one-on-one conversation, creating that feeling of intimacy with your audience. That can make public speaking really just feel like a conversation, and that can be powerful. And another thing is to target your audience, again, by doing research when you can. Sometimes there's no way of knowing your audience, but when you can, finding out who's in the room, even doing a little research, if you can send them a quick survey in advance or a quick email in advance to find out what they'd like to get out of your presentation, that can really help you target and cut to the chase once you arrive. And then another is sharing your deep expertise on your topic, because as an introvert, you tend to have expertise on something, and why would you be in front of the room unless you had that expertise? So using that as a strength.
And what about, you know, we're talking about everyday public speaking, but I'm curious also about the traditional public speaking. When you're teaching your NYU classes, what's the most important, like what's the tip that you give or the guideline or piece of advice that you give that seems to make the biggest difference for the students that are getting up in front of the room?
I would say it's the rest up, prepare, and practice for introverts is really it. And the rest up is so that your social energy isn't tapped out, so that you feel energetic arriving in any public speaking setting. You're rested up, so it's not just a matter of sleep. It means you haven't had 5 back-to-back meetings, and then you're on. That's exhausting. Prepare. Now, it's not necessarily an introvert strength or not, but it's something we need as introverts to be better in public speaking environments, so that you know what you're saying as opposed to just relying on improv, which is something you and I share and
love. Yes.
However, it's not necessarily a natural strength of us as introverts, so it's that preparation. And I know with my coaching clients, when they come to me, often introvert or extrovert almost doesn't matter in this way, they come to me and I say, how much time have you spent preparing for your presentation? And they'll often come to me and say, oh, I've spent 10, 12, 20 hours, whatever it is, depending on the presentation. Sometimes it's 1 hour, they're hyper-busy executive, whatever it is. And I'll say, what percentage of that time have you spent preparing, meaning your PowerPoint, your notes, that kind of thing? And how much time have you actually spent practicing it out loud? And what do you think the ratio is?
Oh, I'm guessing it's 1 hour practice out loud to 10 hours of PowerPoint prep.
It's something like that. You're absolutely right. And how effective do you think that makes you as a speaker, spending most of your time on your PowerPoint and very little actually getting up there and saying your piece?
Marginal.
So you know your stuff in your head, but you don't necessarily know how you'll come across. What do you do with your hands? How do you use the space? How do you make eye contact with the audience? all these things that are, how do you click the clicker? All these things, or does somebody click it for you? All these things matter. And all of these things, what do you do with your handouts if you have them? Do you put them on the chairs? Do you get them in the beginning, in the end, in the middle? All of these things need to be orchestrated. And to the extent that you have that all sorted out, not to mention the technology.
Yes.
Did you do a sound check? Did you find out where in the room is going to blow everyone's ears out if mm-hmm. you walk in that space? All of those things, actually practicing and getting in there. Technical rehearsal when it makes sense to do all the technology stuff, make sure the PowerPoint is loaded, the internet is loaded if you need that, to make sure, again, the sound check is done. Are there any people introducing you? Are you introducing anyone else? All of that, you've all sorted out. Everybody knows how to say your name. You know how to say the introducer's name and all that stuff. I could go on and I won't, but you get the idea. There are
yes.
a lot of moving parts. And without that essential practice piece, so it's rest up, prepare, and practice is what we need.
Beautiful. So many things popped into my head as you were sharing all of that.
Sure.
First, I was thinking about early experiences with PowerPoint, to go to your technology point of creating this beautiful PowerPoint, putting it on my flash drive, taking it with me to a presentation, putting it onto their laptop and realizing they had a different version, perhaps, and mm-hmm. they didn't have the fonts that I had. And so everything was all, you know, too big and squished. And I've learned from that experience for sure to either use a universal font or to, you know, embed them as graphics, you know, that sort of thing. And then also I think about, and I think this is something I'm appreciating the more presentations I do, is that to really double think the technology that you're using. Like, do you have to have the video? Do you even have to have the PowerPoint? You know, how can you remove all of those things that might prove to be stress points? To just, mm-hmm. you know, just to think twice about it and decide if you do need it. And then, like you said, if you do, then make sure you're doing your due diligence with making sure it's all going to work and not become a stressor.
Well, that's such a great point, Beth. And I know my 12 years on Wall Street, people used to talk in terms of their deck, their mm-hmm. PowerPoint deck. Mm-hmm. And the word deck was used interchangeably with presentation.
Hmm.
And now that I've left that world, but I often coach a lot of people from that world, I think in terms of my client is the presenter. And mm-hmm. if there's a PowerPoint behind them, fine, it's wallpaper. Keep it as minimal as possible, as few words and images as possible, and even as few slides as possible,
mm-hmm.
because they're the presentation, not the PowerPoint.
Right. Yeah, great point. Thank you. Any final pieces of wisdom around everyday public speaking or the world of PowerPoint that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. For everyday public speaking, one of the reasons it's a true passion of mine is the beauty of it is no matter how scared you are, and it's such a universal fear, but no matter how scared you are about public speaking, and introverts don't have the market cornered on that. That one's for extroverts, too.
Mm-hmm.
You can take small steps every day. And the way you started this conversation, Beth, was public speaking, even in meetings. And we're always doing public speaking. It can be around a family dinner table. That's public speaking. As soon as you're speaking to more than one person, it's some variety of public speaking. So take opportunities every day to build your public speaking muscle, whether it's varying your voice when you speak, using pauses, enunciating every word, whether it's making eye contact with one person at a time, whether it's using your hand gestures naturally, somewhere between a mummy and a conductor, I always say, an orchestra
great.
Conductor, that is.
Right.
And you can do it every day. And you can also take stretch assignments, like where can I speak that will help a certain community and give myself the opportunity to build this muscle. So do it every day. Do it in front of people and buddy up with people who will help you, that you can practice yours, they can practice theirs, and you'll make each other better. And it's the one technique that will help you so much in your career. whether you're running a business or you have a regular job, it's such an important thing. So take steps every day to build this muscle, and you'll be better for it personally and in your career.
Amen. Well, thank you for offering your insights and your experience. I can attest to the truth of everything you shared from my personal experience in working with clients, and I know that it's an area that introverts can excel at and often do.
Absolutely.
You've helped us to do that, so thank you for your ongoing work and passion in that area.
Thank you.
Well, I want to ask you a wrap-up question, and this is the second time you've gotten this question since this is our second interview together.
Okay.
It used to be a year's vacation on Introvert Island, and I've decided everyone's gotten so busy that 3 weeks is probably all we can spare. So now it's a three-week vacation on Introvert Island, and if you could only take 3 books with you on that vacation, what would you take with you and why?
I have to start with Moby Dick.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite old classics, and it's a great story, so why not? And then another one would be Wherever You Go, There You Are by Jon Kabat-Zinn, because it's a way to get to know yourself, and I love the author's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And another, oh, there's so many, but okay, I'm going to go with White Fang by Jack London. Again, just a great storyteller, and it's another old classic, and I just love it. So I'll go with that. And I hope I really can get that 3 weeks, and I hope you can, too.
I hope so. Well, what is the best way to learn more about what you have to offer? And also to purchase, we haven't talked about Self-Promotion for Introverts, but
that's a
book that I am constantly recommending, and I would love for you to just speak for a moment about, you know, how people can find you and learn more about the book.
Oh, sure. The book, you can go on Amazon and get it there, and it's at many other booksellers as well. And to find out about me, selfpromotionforintroverts.com is one of my blogs. And I also blog for Psychology Today and Salary.com. And my website is nancyankowitz.com, which is nancyankowitz.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Nancy. It's been a great pleasure.
My pleasure. Absolutely. It's always a delight, Beth. Thank you so much for the great work that you do.
Nancy and I have collaborated several times over the years, including podcast interviews and blog posts aimed at providing tips for introverts who want to sharpen their communication skills. You'll find a complete list of links on the webpage for this podcast. There's a final thought I'd like to share with you about making your voice heard. Speaking up is vulnerable, with a capital V. So I think we need to acknowledge that we're not just practicing sharing our thoughts out loud, which is a skill in itself. We're also practicing vulnerability and being okay with the idea that not everyone is going to like or agree with what we have to say. Here's an important truth. The more we speak up, the greater the chances that someone will get their feathers ruffled by what we say. Or someone will say we're wrong, or we'll feel like our words didn't reflect what we actually meant. And that in turn can lead us to keeping our thoughts to ourselves. It's a vicious cycle. Recognize and prepare yourself for 2 things. Speaking out takes practice, and being vulnerable takes courage. Give yourself credit for taking a risk, and trust that whatever happens, good or bad, as a result of your voice being heard, you can handle it. Thank you so much for listening today. If you want to learn more about me and the Introvert Entrepreneur, visit my website at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. The site includes links to my blog, social media communities, book, and coaching services. Also, if you're a regular listener, you might have noticed that the podcast episodes have been out of order. I'll be bringing you episode 65, featuring executive coach Lisa Petrilli, in the next installment, so stay tuned. This is Beth Below of The Introvert Entrepreneur, and until we meet again, remember that success is an inside job.